Jesus.
For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he would solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. And I do want to draw your attention to some verses that are really familiar with us. Verses our Lord taught us on prayer. I do think it would be good for us this month if you would spend some time meditating on prayer, thinking about your own prayer life, asking God to help you to grow in that area. Someone said that if you are weak in prayer, you're a weak believer. And if you're strong in prayer, you're a strong believer. And I know myself, I need to grow in this area of my own Christian life. I'll make that confession. God knows that's true. And so I want to be meditating on this as well and praying that the Lord would teach us to pray. I'm pretty convinced if I ask you this morning, how many of you are satisfied with your prayer life? I don't know if any of you would raise your hand. I think all of us would say, preacher, I think I need some growth in that area of my life. Sadly, many people never pray. And they name the name of Christ. They might pray in an emergency, you know, cars coming their way. Oh, Lord, help me. But as far as getting along with God and spending time in prayer, they don't know little of that. And so we want to grow in this area. You pray for one another. Pray for each other. That God would help us. It's not good enough that we come here each night at 7 and pray this week. We need to develop greater habits of prayer. So you pray that God would help us this morning. Matthew chapter 7. I'll just draw your attention to two verses, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 of Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Let's pray. Father, We do thank you for this morning and thank you for your word. And we pray, God, that you give us a greater understanding of prayer. Lord, move us to higher ground in our prayer life, please. Holy Spirit of God, teach us to pray. Open up our understanding as we read the Word of God to what it is truly like to have a life of prayer. I pray, God, this morning as we look into the Word that Jesus spoke, that you would help us, God, to understand a little more about prayer. And so, God, speak to us this morning, please. Lord, bless our time together. Lord, if there is any among us that are lost, would you also draw them to yourself that they might be saved? And help them to realize that you are not obligated to them to answer a single prayer. You may answer prayer to the lost out of just an act of grace and mercy, but you have obligated yourself to your children to hear and answer prayer. God, help them become a child of God this morning. Lord, please help each of us. Speak to us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 is a part of that great sermon Jesus preached on a mountainside. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has already addressed the subject of prayer. But as he continues preaching, he comes back to that topic again. Just think about that. Matthew chapter 6, he gives us even the model prayer. He says, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many of y'all could say the model prayer? Well, good. If you can't, work on it some, right? See, that's not the prayer of Jesus. That's a little model, a sketch that Jesus has given us. And he says, now when you pray, include these things in your prayer. Make these a part of your prayer. Worship God. Pray for God's will to be done, etc. Ask for the things that are necessary in your life. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he passes that. He seems to pass that subject. And yet, then when he gets to chapter number 7... Of course, his sermon went divided in chapters, but as he continues praying, he mentions again, ask, and he goes into a lengthy discussion again about prayer. That ought to teach us something about the subject of prayer, because that he repeated this in a sermon, he goes over it several times, it means that prayer is very important. When God repeats something in the scriptures, it's not because he forgot what he said. He always repeats something for emphasis. He wants you to stop and really pay attention. He wants you to listen to what he is teaching. So the fact that Christ mentions this a second time is very remarkable. God is stressing by doing this how important prayer is to the Christian life. Think about the Sermon on the Mount. If it's a model for the Christian life, then prayer has to be a great part of that Christian life. Amen? It's not a minor thing when you look at your prayer life. For some reason, believers think that church attendance, even serving in the church or singing in the choir, these are more important than anything you can do. But yet Jesus stresses prayer. In fact, he's a model for prayer. Even now, he's interceding for us even today. So it's amazing the emphasis that Christ puts on prayer. God is basically promising us that if we would follow his teachings on prayer, that we would have a full and meaningful Christian life. The promises that God has given us here concerning prayer are strong promises. God will honor them. God will fulfill his word. So you and I need to ponder the subject of prayer this morning, and I want us to try to take each of these three little exhortations and try to break them down a little bit and see if we might can deepen our own prayer life, maybe a little better understanding. Jesus said in verse 7 of Matthew 7, "Ask and it shall be given you." I want to say this is the petition of prayer. The petition of prayer. Ask and it shall be given. I think most Christians are familiar with this part of prayer. In fact, we think of prayer as only asking. I read a book by a great Christian man, and he said prayer is asking. He tried to make prayer simple. I appreciate his effort in that, but he said basically prayer is asking. You know, we say years ago, in older English, we say, "I pray you." It meant, I want to ask you something. But prayer is more than asking, but Jesus begins with this aspect of prayer. And notice, he gives a condition for prayer to be answered. Now, you don't find an if there or a but. But the condition is found in the word ask itself. That word implies humility. It implies a begging. It also implies a command that must be kept. Remember, James wrote in James chapter 4 and verse 2 about our desire to obtain things. I want to ask you, if we go back and read James 4, look at James 4 more in the light of inward conflict and not church conflict. Just take a look at it, not Christians fighting among themselves, but inward battles that we have. And James, when he's addressing those desires that we have, he says in James 4, 2, "You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not." A lot of us want to grow spiritually. We want to become more like Christ. We want our loved ones saved. We want to have strong Christian homes, etc., etc. And yet we spend no time asking Christ for those things. And God's word comes back as a strong rebuke. You have not because you ask not. How can you receive if you don't ask? Ask and you shall receive. Don't ask and you will not receive. God is not going to bless our life of independence of Him. He's not going to bless our life of independence. Lord, I'll do my own thing. I'll get what I get. I'll do what I do. And that should be sufficient. No, He's not going to bless that. He says, ask, ask, and you shall receive. Don't ask and you won't receive. Amen. James says these believers are struggling and fighting and warring and trying and straining and yet nothing. I wonder how many of us would stop and be honest with our own self and say, you know what, that looks a lot like my Christian life. Preacher, I'm struggling, I'm trying, I'm straining, I want it, I desire it, I crave it, and yet I'm getting nowhere. Could the answer be this morning, the reason you're getting nowhere is because you're not praying? Let me show you something else in this verse. It's found in verse 8 about this subject. He said, "For everyone that asketh," and I know people have kind of thrown away the old King James, but when you find an ETH at the end of that, it means it's someone who keeps on asking, 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 asking. And say, "Preacher, I asked God to do this." Are you still asking? Amen. You see, sometimes we say, "God, I have to grow. I have to change. I have to be more like Jesus. You've got to do something." And we're earnest about that. We crave it. We're intense about that. And then that intensity wanes. Maybe we get distracted. Some situation comes up in life and now everything seems to be rearranged and we're focused on this problem and we leave off asking. And then we look at our life a little bit later down the road and we say, how come I'm not growing? And then we have to realize it's because I've stopped asking. If nothing happens in our life other than through prayer, where are we going to be if we don't pray? It was that great preacher of old, John Wesley, that says, God does nothing but by prayer. Oh, if that's true, we're in trouble. Amen? You know, it may be that God would send a revival in the last days if His children would earnestly ask Him for a revival in the last days. Ask most preachers and most Christians, they say, no, God's not going to send revival in the last days. Well, if you believe that, you won't be asking for it. Amen? That may be the trick of the devil. So one of the conditions here certainly is that we need to be asking, right? The most natural, consistent thing that you should be experiencing as a Christian is your prayers being answered. That should be the most natural, consistent thing that you experience as a Christian, answered prayer. If we're asking like we should be asking on a daily basis, asking for things that we need daily, we should be seeing and testifying to answered prayers on a daily basis. I think sometimes we don't share in the testimony service because it's been a long time since we've seen God do anything. And that's simply a testimony. It's been a long time since we really asked God to do anything. The church may remember when Brother John was here months and months ago now. I'm not good with time, but he was sick. And he was going to the hospital. And we prayed. And said, Lord, please touch him.
Yes.
Heal him. And it went long. He came back through the door.
Right.
God had heard our prayer. God had touched him. God had healed him.
Amen.
That ought to be a common, glorious testimony among God's children. I don't know of any time that my children come and ask of me that I didn't have a heart to give it to them. And God says, my heart is greater than your evil hearts. We should be experiencing abundance of asking and receiving. Amen?
Amen.
God is always faithful to keep His word.
Amen.
This word again, ask, carries with it the ideal of asking humbly. That's the next warning that He gives us. When you ask, there has to be a humility about asking, a dependence. Lord, only You can do this. I can't get help from any other way. I cannot do it. Let me tell you, the biggest reason we don't pray is because of our pride.
Yes.
We're trying to do it, and we want to get whatever it is. You put the it, put whatever you want to, put it, grow spiritually or win souls or whatever it is. And we want the credit for it. And Jesus says, don't do that, ask. So James adds to that, you have not because you ask amiss. You're asking, and yes, that's good to ask, but there's a problem with your asking. You're asking wrongly. You're asking for fleshly things, carnal things, worldly things. Things that God has no interest in whatsoever. God always is interested in meeting the needs of His children, whatever that need is. That's spiritual. God always wants to help His children. Amen?
Amen.
But you winning the lottery? God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills they're on. What's the lottery to God? No matter how big the number is, it's small to what's in God's bank account. Instead of asking that God would help you to win the lottery, why don't you pray, God, meet my needs? I've got an abundance of supply. Why? Because I have access to the Father. Everything I need, He's going to give me. It's so I've already won the lottery. Right? Not for my own selfish consumption, but that I might do the will of God. They're asking wrongly. They're asking God for the wrong things, and they're asking in the wrong way. Be careful about people that teach you that you need to go to God and demand things from God or command God. Be very weary of that. You go in God's presence and you command. And listen, you better be careful that it's not the wrong spirit. You cannot order God around. He's the one in charge. Just because you say something, He's not obligated to do it either. He's the one that makes a choice about what His will is. So we're to ask. We're to ask Christ for everyday needs. And oh, how many needs there are, amen? When you wake up in the morning, do you have any needs? Absolutely. But Jesus does not stop just with encouraging us to ask. I think He wants to, and implying that we should go deeper in our prayer life, because He didn't just say ask. He said, in prayer, seek. In prayer, seek. This is seeking in prayer. What am I to pursue in prayer? The pursuing in prayer. See, we have the petition, but He said, now there's some aspect of prayer that I want you to be involved in. I want you to be pursuing, seeking in prayer. I'm trying to find something. I'm trying to obtain something. So what am I to be pursuing in prayer? Or, can I ask you this, are you pursuing anything in prayer? The word seek means to look for something. Isn't that profound? And it implies a diligent seeking. Not just a casual seeking. Not just, well, I'll seek today and then maybe 2 months later on I'll start seeking again. No, it's not implying that at all. It's implying seeking earnestly, continuously. The word find means to discover, attaining, coming into possession of something that has been diligently sought for. Could it be that we're missing out on many of the great things of God just because we're not pursuing them through prayer? Say, preacher, I asked. Praise God for that. I'm glad that's your testimony. But what are you seeking? Do we have any biblical insight to some things that we're to be seeking? Proverbs chapter 2 verses 2 through 5 says that we're to seek for God's wisdom. Remember that? He tells us plainly to be searching for, seeking for God's wisdom. How can I obtain God's truth, God's wisdom? How can I get the knowledge of Christ? It's more than just reading the Bible. How many of y'all know that's true? Because I can read the Bible and still not obtain that knowledge. It comes from Christ answering prayer and revealing wisdom to me. Knowledge to me and Himself to me. Proverbs 2 verses 2 through 5 say this. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. He tells us to seek after wisdom. How am I to seek after wisdom? I'm to cry out for wisdom. I'm to lift up my voice. I'm to say, oh God, help me to know this. Teach me. Show me. You can read a verse a multitude of times. And then the Holy Spirit seems to put the highlight on it. You think, I've never seen that before in my entire life. Thank you, God, for helping me to understand that. Amen?
Amen.
Christ after knowledge, lifted up thy voice for understanding. Listen, verse 4 of Proverbs 2. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That knowledge is not going to come by any other way than seeking for it through prayer. Now you say, preacher, I'm not really interested in that. I'm smart enough. I have enough knowledge. Listen, when it comes to spiritual things, we are all babes. There's a desperate need in the church for us to really gain wisdom and knowledge from God in our generation. Yes. How are you going to answer some of these complex problems that we face? And really speak the truth in love and affect the people that you talk to. You're not going to affect them if you have an angry spirit. If you're just arguing online and just responding in anger, you're not going to influence them whatsoever. Why? Because that is the spirit of the world. The wrath of man accomplishes nothing. Is that true or not? It takes the spirit of God to accomplish that. We're to seek for God's wisdom. We're to seek for God's kingdom and righteousness. Remember our Lord said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. You know, we spend a lot of time asking for things and little time seeking in prayer God's kingdom and His righteousness. So how can I seek God's righteousness in prayer? Peter taught us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and besides this, or what he's saying there, for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance godliness, and to godliness patience, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. How am I going to seek that? Okay, I'm giving you a little notebook. I'm going to write up there virtue. Find every verse I can on virtue. Write those out. Find examples of virtue. Find where Christ was virtuous. Is that enough? Is that sufficient? I've searched the Bible. I found every verse on morality, high, godly morals. I've found examples of that in the Bible. I see Jesus. I've written out the testimony of Christ and His virtue, His pureness of His morals. Is that sufficient? Help me. No, it's not sufficient. How is that virtue going to be applied? How am I going to become morally pure in God's sight? Through prayer. How do I even know the things in my life that are not virtuous? And that's the Holy Ghost says, Tommy, what about this area? Right?
Right.
I'm to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. And then the Bible teaches me that in prayer I'm to seek for God's face. I'm to seek for God's face. In Psalms 105 and verse 4, the scripture says, seek the Lord and His strength. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament.
That's all right.
Paul said in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can I say something to you? Every time you read something like that in the Bible, that is a prayer verse, a prayer promise. A prayer that is to be lifted up. Lord, make me strong in You and in the power of Your might.
Amen.
You say, I don't even fully understand that. God does. Lord, I want that to be true in my life. Help me. And He will continue to mold you and fashion you as you seek God's help in transforming you into Christ's likeness. Psalms 24 and verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Psalms 27:8-9. When thou saidest, when God said, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then he says, hide not thy face from me. See, that's praying, isn't it? God, you said this. Now don't hide your face. Show me yourself. Seeking the Lord through prayer. Seeking His wisdom through prayer. Seeking His kingdom through prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Then there's a final thing that He gives us in this verse. It's the procuring through prayer. Knock. Knock naturally implies that there's a door that's been closed, right? You don't knock if there's well, we still would in our day, but if the door's open, that means come in. Right? But if the door is closed, he said, I want you to... Now, this is what he wants us to do in prayer. He wants us to be knocking in prayer. That is, when we're praying, it seems like some things are still inaccessible to us as a Christian. And we need God to open up a door that only God can open.
That's right.
We've been earnest in our asking, diligent in our seeking, but the door is still closed. You know, there are some things in the spiritual life where it takes these steps, and then it takes this effort, earnest effort. And a lot of times God is seeing whether or not we are really earnest about it or not. He is not just delaying us for delaying purposes. He's not just making it hard for no reason. What He's doing is He is forming us and fashioning us into Christ-likeness. And all of this takes His hands on the clay in our life to fashion us to be strong believers. There are some things, well, everything really without God's impossible, but there's some things that God would ask you to do and you say, God, that's just impossible. And God said, I want you to start knocking.
Amen.
The only one that can overcome the impossible is God Himself. Amen? And so when it comes to that situation in life, it's time to start knocking. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus is standing outside the door of the church, and He's knocking to try to get access into the church. I think we're in the Laodicean age. I personally believe that. We're in the Laodicean age. We've got all that we need, and we don't need Jesus, so we've got Him on the outside, because we've got everything we need already. And He's saying to the church, let me in. Let me in. And finally in Revelation 3, He says, if any man will. I'm not going to knock on the door of the church anymore. I'm going to knock on the door of your heart. If any man will hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and sup with him, have fellowship with him, and he can have fellowship with me. And I want to submit to you that the Lord would love for us to respond by going to Him and knocking on His door. That's one thing to invite God in your service. Say, Lord, we want you to show up. We want you to be present. But that doesn't happen just overnight. There may be many things that need to happen before God starts showing up in a powerful way in our services. Amen? There may be some confession of sin that has to take place. There may be some other things that God has to do so that when He shows up, He gets the glory He deserves. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe He wants us as a church to knock on His door and say, Lord, please come fellowship with us. We have a church service and it seems to be dead and God doesn't seem to be there. We ought to go home and say, God, I don't want to have church services like that. God, I want you with us. I don't want to just go to a building and sit in a pew and hear somebody spew out words. I want to hear from heaven. I want the Holy Ghost to come down. I want you to move in our church, Lord. I want you to have your way in our hearts. I want you to do something at our church, Lord. I don't want to just go there every other Sunday. I want you to show up. And the reason God may not be showing up is because we're not knocking and pleading. God, please. I don't want deadness. I don't want just to go to church and you not be there. In fact, when he uses this teaching, and Luke records it, Luke also adds a little story of the man that visited friend at night, and the friend was in bed and he wouldn't get up and give him bread. And the friend continued to call out, I got to get your help. I've got some visitors and I don't have nothing to set in front of them. Would you please give me some bread? He said, go away. Stop bothering us. He says again, but you don't understand. I got to have your help. I don't have nothing. If you don't help me, I can't meet the needs of my friends that have just come to visit. I wasn't expecting them. It's not like I intended it to be this way, but you got to give me something so I can help meet the needs of my friend. And he says again, please go away, sir. I don't want to get up. I can't meet that need now. And the friend pleads again and finally throws the cover off and gets up and grabs the bread and says, here. And God says, that's how I want you in prayer. Can I say to most of us, I don't think we have, and I would include myself in this as well, to my shame, most of us never know that kind of intensity and level of prayer. Like most of us are still in the elementary school of praying, asking once in a while when a prayer request comes in. Not asking and asking and asking, certainly not seeking and seeking. God, do this, and then God does the work, and God gets glory for it, and then we know little of knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. And I believe that's what it's implying here. There's another stage to this praying. There's a prayer of importunity. I won't give up. I can't give up. It's the Jacob type of praying. I can't let you go until you do something. I'm not going to let you go until you do something. And I think a lot of times we don't have that intensity, and because we don't have that intensity, we don't have what we really crave. What all of us, because the Holy Ghost lives within us, what all of us want is the presence of God. Amen? Isn't that true? Have you ever been in a service where God was really there in a mighty way? You know what that's like. Amen? God's moving. I was saved at a church. The name of the church was Damascus Free Will Baptist Church. And often before the service ever began, they would be singing congregational songs, and people would start streaming down the altar, kneeling in the altar before the preaching ever started. And there were many times in those services where it was evident that God was present with his people. That don't just happen. You say, how did it happen, preacher? Somebody had been knocking and knocking and knocking and saying, God, please meet with us. Show up. Do something. Lord, don't let us die on the vine. God, help us to bear fruit. Use us as a church. Use me as a Christian. Do something in this world. Yes. Amen? We all need to get closer to Christ's example of prayer. And we all need to develop a deeper life of prayer. Amen? No matter where you're at. I don't know which one of you prays more earnestly than others, but the one who prays the most earnestly, I say to you, there's a lot of growth still left for you. There's a lot more you need to learn about prayer. Amen? Yeah. And may God help us to do that. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the first prayer you ought to pray, you must pray, is, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Receive me. Save me. Amen? If you ask Jesus in your heart, guess what He'll do? He'll answer you. If you ask Him, you'll receive. Why don't you ask Jesus this morning to save you? Amen? And if you're a Christian, you're struggling with your prayer life, the truth is that maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, help me. Work on me. Help me to become a person of prayer. Amen? Amen. Would you do that this morning? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father, please help us, Jesus.